The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we are, and it's Thursday. Back with us tonight to do part two of a very important series is Tex Mars. His new book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, is a knockout, so much so that Tex is already getting threats. It's one of those books that is not supposed to be written, let alone read by people. But Tex wrote it, and it is being read, and the tribe doesn't like that. We have myths to expose tonight. We did about one and a half on Monday. There's so much material, and I asked Tex if he'd like to come back tonight, and he was very, very much interested in that. He's here. We're going to talk more about some of the myths of the Jews this hour, and just like myths of the Catholics, myths of the Hindus, and anyway, myths in general. Hello, Tex, and welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. Great to be back with you again.
How's the book?
Well, the book, it's doing great. it seems like so many people are just not frightened anymore. We're reaching perhaps a critical mass.
Yeah.
At least judging from the sales of the book, and people are beginning to say, "I want the truth about this." And they're beginning to see Jews controlling every aspect of American society.
Well, it's the damn truth.
It is. It is. You know, even they released some tapes from President Richard Nixon's
library. The last of the Nixon tapes, yeah.
There you go. And he had so much to say on Jews. And of course, the press put it out there and said, see what a bigot he is. But right. I read it, and I mean, goodness gracious, there's the guy, exposing homosexuality, exposing the Jews. And he was sick and tired of it, and of course, I appreciated that myself. He said, if I have a second term, I'm going to do something about it. That's what he actually told his associates and Billy Graham when he came to visit him in the White House.
That's right.
But he never got the opportunity because they obviously, I believe they had their wiretap in the White House, the Israeli Mossad, and they said, we've got to stop this guy and his vice president. You know, his vice president was Spiro Agnew, Jeff, and they took out Spiro Agnew first because they knew if they took out President Nixon first, then Agnew would become president, and Agnew was even more an enemy of the Zionists than was President Nixon. Agnew, boy, in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I have a letter from him where he says America is being ruined by the Jews.
Well, and they ruined him, didn't they?
They really did. And, you know, the problem is that the vast majority, not all the Jews in the United States, but there's 7.5 million, about 2.5% of the American people are Jews. And these people do not believe they have any allegiance to the United States. Charles Schumer, a senator, and all the others, they go to Congress to see what they can get and do for Israel. They will tell you. They wake up every morning and say, "What can I do for Israel today?" That's abnormal. These people were born in America, given all the rights and privileges. I'm just an old country boy. You know, I came from a small town in East Texas, but I appreciated everything I got. But they don't. They are asking themselves, what can we do for Israel? And when they consider legislation, the first question in these Jews' mind is this good for Israel? And they've got everything backwards, but it's because they have been brainwashed all their lives. Uh-huh. These people, as we noticed the other night, are not true Jews. They're not even Jews, they're Khazars. And so they have a problem themselves. And many of them are just learning now from my book and other sources that they are Khazars. I think they're shocked. And I'm having people that are just angry at me and saying, this cannot be true. Where did you get this information? I've never heard of this Johns Hopkins, you know, medical university study. Well, the study that I cite is a brand new study, a definitive study. This is one of the myths of the Jews. By Dr. Elron Elhike of Johns Hopkins Medical University. He's with the McKusick-Nathans Genetic Institute. And get this, Jeff, he is a Jew. He was born in Israel. He spent 7 years in the Israeli Defense Forces. He's now here in the United States. And he wrote this, he did this brilliant study. And discovered that the Jews, according to DNA, are not Jews. They have no connection with the nation of Israel. They've never, you know, they've never lived there. Their ancestors never lived there.
No, of course.
And this is so the Christians need to wake up. If you really want to help Israel, you cannot do it through some other people. It's like, well, I love Israel. I'm going to help Israel. So you send offerings to Japan.
Yeah. I know where you're going with this, and you're right, 100% right. If you want to help Israel and Israelis in terms of their actual DNA and bloodlines, you help the Palestinians.
That's right, exactly. And by the way, Dr. Elhike is not the first to find this out. In 2001, they had a big DNA study by Dr. Oppenheim of Hebrew University. Dr. Dan Growl of the University of Houston. He won the Humboldt Prize and went over to Germany and received it from the president. He is editor of Genome Biology and Evolution Journal, and he also found this same thing. And it leads us back to the Bible, where it says in 1 Timothy and Titus 4 that Christians should pay no heed to the foolishness of genealogies. Now, Jeff, you know, you and I don't know how many years we've been friends, but I don't recall ever asking you what race you were. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that's not important.
My genetic heritage is Italian, German, and a little Irish.
Now, that's a good mixture. I like that. Well, but see, I never considered it important. I just know the Jeff Rentz, and I like you as Jeff Rentz.
Well, we're supposed to do that.
For me,
we're supposed to judge people on the basis of who they are and what they represent as human beings.
There you go. And that's why the Bible said, don't pay any heed. They're unprofitable, they're vain, when you get into the what it calls the foolishness of genealogy. So that's the first big myth, and so I'm glad that, you know, now this could not be proven before. Historians said it. Archaeologists brought it up, but now we have DNA, God's mathematics, and now these Jewish scientists are beginning to say it. It's not even debatable. I understand a lot of radio programs are beginning to come against my book.
Already,
I only have one target.
Good publicity.
I only have one target.
Good publicity.
It is good publicity.
That's right.
Because, you know, these are little people. They're some of them, somebody told me there's a genetic scientist on some Zionist guy. But none of them have done any studies on this, or their studies are just little, you know, minuscule. So they've been plowed under by these great scientists, and they don't know what to do about it. It's interesting. Dr. Shlomo Sand, who a historian of Tel Aviv University, he's a Jew too, he wrote a great book called The Invention of the Jewish People.
There you go. And
remember that in 2009?
Sure.
It was on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah.
He said, very soon, this is what he said in 2009, very soon, he said, the DNA scientists will do a study on DNA and where the Jews originated from. He said, and I believe they will find that, that they came from Khazaria, not Israel. And he says, I'm looking forward to that study. Now this study comes out, and I wanted to see what he had to say. I went on Google, and sure enough, he was interviewed in the Tel Aviv, Israel. And he said, quote, about Dr. Elhike's study of John Hopkins Medical University. He said, quote, it is so obvious, but you know, the Zionists, they're gonna go down fighting because
Jeff,
look at all the things they get out of this. I mean,
oh, my goodness, it's like they have
Israel. They've got trillions of dollars in foreign aid money and arms in the United States. American military to murder.
Well, they use our military like it's their own. They order us around. They have it's like they have a credit card with an unlimited balance and never have to pay anything back. It's just silly. It's all disgusting.
Once the American people understand,
that
a bunch of Khazars from communist Poland, with Stalin's arms, Joseph Stalin, his arms, that they went into Israel, changed their names, and killed so many people and took over that country. Once they understand those are not even Jews, they have no relationship, they're not returning to Israel, they were never there. I think this is the most, to me, I'm almost 70 years old, Jeff. This is the most staggering news story of my life.
It is. Well, you're exposing that one of the biggest political, social, cultural frauds in human history.
Absolutely.
It's all right in your book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Now, I have for years, and we've talked in the past about Khazars and how they picked up Judaism in the 700s. Early 700s, and how they emigrated to Europe, and how all the leadership in Israel, you look at them, they're all light-skinned Europeans or from the Caucasus, or Caucasians from the southern Caucasus. Now, what you have done is taken all those little pieces of data, which are irrefutable, and woven them together in a book with rock-hard science, which proves it. It's in book form now. It's not just conversation. And this book is clearly public enemy number one to the scammers, and the Khazars are the scammers.
They really are. And you know, the title, I usually try to find good titles for my books, and I said, you know, I'm just going to name this what it is, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline.
It's exactly what it is.
People will understand. It's so interesting, though, that there are a few honest Jews, and you know, I talk about Jewish historians, Jewish geneticists, you know, the medical doctors, researchers. These are the ones that I have all the studies from. And that's what makes it so tough on these Zionist freaks. They're angry at their own people.
Of course. Of course.
For exposing them.
That's right. Use their own words and their own science and their own ethics, as it were, from the good ones to expose the whole lot of them. And that's what you've done.
Yeah, this is a science report. I'm just a reporter here, you know, and so, but they cannot refute this research. And so, you know, I thank God he's given us these Jewish scientists. And evidently, you know, Isaac Asimov, the great science fiction writer, was asked, was he a Khazar? Because the historians knew this even, you know, back when. And in his autobiography, 2002, you know, he's passed away now, Jeff. But he was, you know, the greatest science fiction writer. Wrote the novel iRobot and so forth. But he said, am I a Khazar? He said, I well could be from my studies. He said, yeah, I could be a Khazar, but who cares? I said, he was Jewish, so-called. He said, yeah, I may be a Khazar. Who cares? Well, that's the that's what any good person would say. Are you an Italian? Are you Irish? Are you, you know, French? Whatever. And you say, well, I don't know, or maybe I, maybe so, but who cares? I'm an American. But the people that have contacted me, the Jews so far, they are angry. They say, I am not anything but a Jew. Do not, you know, you've done a terrible thing with your book. How could you say such a thing? And so they're very, very upset at being called something other than Jewish. And that's because they get Holocaust reparations. I mean, they got
away with everything. They have literally been able to intellectually intimidate, coerce, and extort their way to riches and wealth beyond their wildest dreams. In terms of a collective, this is 0.2% of the world population. That's it. 0.2% of the world population. 0.2%
Wow, and it's just amazing. And the interesting thing about this is they have a holy book that the Jews, you know, the rabbis wrote this back around, you know, what, 250 or 300 A.D. And it says in this mixed-up holy book, this is why Jesus Christ criticized the traditions of the elders. That's the rabbis' writings. Jesus said they were evil. They were of the devil himself. But the Khazarians took them up and believed them and thought that if they converted to Judaism, they would become like real Jews. Well, even the Jews will deny that. You know, you're always going to be second class unless you have a race, unless you're of the race called Jew. Well, the problem is that all of these Jews, every Jew you see, when they tell you, I'm a Jew, say, no, you're not. You're a Khazar. Now we can actually do that.
Or you're just a subscriber to a belief system or an ideology. That's all it really is.
That's right. Now, their ideology tells them that Jews are superior to any other race. In fact, they're gods. Gods on earth.
That's right.
I mean, don't talk about the Nazis. I mean, these people believe they're the superior race. And they believe that their God, and I'm going to talk a little bit later about who the God is, they believe their God will give them this whole planet, and that you and I and the listeners, because we're just Gentiles, that we will be killed or agree to give them our riches, everything we have, and to serve them as slaves and serpents. Now, I'm not kidding about this. You can go to Google and see what one of the chief rabbis, Dr. Obadiah Yosef, has said about this. I mean, you'll find one of his talks where he says that Gentiles are like donkeys. They are our slaves. That's what the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, says, he said, and I believe it. Now, who is this guy, some little bitty rabbi? No, he was the chief Sephardic rabbi, and he is consulted by Netanyahu and all the others. He's one of the greatest rabbis who's ever lived, they say. But he says that all the Gentiles out there are donkeys. They deserve only to be slaves of the Jews. And but here's the whole problem. Now he's going to, if he reads my book or somebody tells him about it, Rabbi Yosef is going to discover that he too is a Gentile. He's not a real Jew.
Whoops.
Whoops. So who is he going to serve now? He's going to have to serve somebody. But now the Khazars have nobody to serve, I suppose. I mean, are there any Jews in the world? I do not know of one real Jew in the world. That is the problem. And, you know, even remember Christopher Hitchens?
Oh, sure.
He was an atheist, but he was a Jewish supposedly by race. But he himself said he thought he was a Khazar, Chris Hitchens. He said it really didn't matter to him, but all these others, it really matters a whole, whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shall we go on, Jeff?
Yeah, myth? Go. Yep. Please.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that was the first myth. The second myth is that Israel it's special, that it's God's eternal kingdom. And we saw, of course, that Jesus prophesied, the house of Israel is left to you desolate. And he said in Matthew 21, verse 43, the kingdom is taken from you. The Apostle Paul said that the Jews are cast out of the kingdom, and they will not inherit the promise of Abraham. I think that's pretty well, how can you go, I mean, you can't deny Jesus and the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But Christians don't read it. I talk to Christians, and I give them these quotes, and they say, where's that, where's that? And I tell them it's in the Bible. They don't read things. They just listen to what their leaders say.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the way it is? The sheep listen, and they
do.
Yeah.
The Bible is an unused resource. Third is Jerusalem is the eternal city. And of course, they love Jerusalem, and oh my goodness. And all these Christians want to go over to Jerusalem and see it on their tours. But here's the problem. The book of Revelation says of Jerusalem that it insinuates that it's the most wicked city in the whole world in the last days. It is spiritually named, now get this, Jeff, Sodom and Egypt.
Huh.
It's not the Holy Land.
Uh-huh.
Revelation 11 says it is so wicked. This is where the beast will come up out of the earth.
Oh, now, interesting.
Demon,
yeah.
Demon power.
Mm-hmm.
But he leads this Sodom and Egypt. Now, there's no worse names that you can give in the Bible. Sodom was destroyed, and Egypt had the wicked Pharaoh. Now, Paul said, here on earth, we have no continuing city, but we look for one in heaven. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. Here we have no continuing city. Well, every Christian you talk to says, oh, Jerusalem, that's the Holy Land. And, oh, it's a great city. And that's where Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to rule the earth from Jerusalem. He's going to give. And I said, do what? That's not so. Paul says, here we have no continuing city. We have a new Jerusalem built in heaven. So Jesus, you know, abandoned this city. He said, the kingdom is not yours. So here we have the Christians not even reading the Bible, not even knowing that they're sending money and trying to help out Sodom and Egypt. Boy, you know, Christians talk about they're against homosexuality.
Yeah.
But they're for Jerusalem?
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
crazy.
It is. It just defies common sense and logic. Tex Mar's book, again, this is easily one of the most controversial books of our time, because it upsets the apple cart of that little tiny, tiny percentage that controls the game and literally dictates who will live and who will die in many, many venues. DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. Facts are facts. Tex Mars. Be right back. Okay, click on Tex Mar's name, you go right to his website, you can get yourself a copy of this book. And I would urge all our Jewish listeners to read this book as well. There's no shame in being a Khazar. It doesn't matter. They adopted Judaism, a faith and a religion is a faith and a religion. Doesn't matter really where it came from. If it gives you comfort, peace, happily on this planet together, fine. There's no problem with that, with any religion. The issue is one of honesty and integrity. And in this book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, we find out that a lot of the common folklore that we're told it's more than folklore, it's bedrock reality, supposedly, is not true. So it's being unmasked here, and that's fine. That's what journalism and truth is all about. Tex?
Well, we go to number five. Number four on the myth list. And we have actually the founding of Israel right in the midst of Palestine in 1948. And, you know, all of the Christians believe this is a great miracle. After 1,900 years of not existing as a nation, for Israel to be, you know, refounded. And of course, it was founded, unfortunately, again, not by Jews, but now we know by Khazars, pretending, or at least disguised as Jews. The surveys there show that only about 40% of the people are religious Jews. The rest
are secular.
Yeah, but although the religious Jews run the nation.
Uh-huh.
And even the secular Jews use the myth that they are true Jews, true Israelites, so that they can, you know, maintain their power. But here's the miracle. There was no miracle at all. It was the acts of two men on this planet. One was Harry Truman, who in 1948 told a Jewish spy, and I'm telling you, this is from the FBI declassified files.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up on the internet. Abe Feinberg is his name. He was a Jewish spy, had about 70 other Jewish spies working for him. Abe Feinberg from New York. He went to President Harry Truman and said, what will it take for you to make Israel a nation? He knew that the two greatest countries on earth were the United States and the Soviet Union of Joseph Stalin. And so Truman agreed. He took a bribe. The American people did not know this until last year when files were declassified. All this is, by the way, in another book I've done called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You'll see pictures of Abe Feinberg with President Harry Truman. Harry Truman's wife, Bess, they said she was a very, very plain, very simple woman. She's wearing a lovely fur coat in the picture.
Uh-huh.
That was a gift of Mr. Feinberg, by the way.
I see. Uh-huh.
Now, Truman received millions of dollars in suitcases. I mean, he didn't even get it put in the bank, direct to him on his campaign train.
Millions.
And Feinberg himself has now admitted this. In his old age, he did a taped interview, and it's now at the Harry Truman Presidential Library. Abe Feinberg tape. You can listen to, actually, the words of Feinberg, online. You Google them up. Abe Feinberg. The second person, and so that's what Truman did. And Feinberg told him, you must do it before the presidential election. That was the deal, and so they backed him. He had all these millions for the election. Then the second man was Joseph Stalin, the communist butcher.
Yep.
Stalin very willingly did this because he knew that the Khazars were all in a communist empire, mostly Poland, and he gave them the arms that they needed, the everything from tanks to guns, everything they needed, and it was the communist Poles that were Khazars that he sent to Palestine. So Stalin did that, and Truman did his little bitty thing, and both of them together on the very same day, said that Israel would become a nation again. And in my book, on DNA science, my new book, you'll see the actual memo or statement from President Harry Truman in which he said the United States now recognizes. Now, listen to this, Jeff. This is amazing. The state of Israel. Now, why didn't he say the Jewish state? Well, the Jews brought him the statement to sign, and he said to them, what is this Jewish state in here? I never said y'all could have a Jewish state.
Uh-huh.
I just said you could have a state. Well, the guy already had all the money. So he kept his word, all right. But I want you to look at in my book, you will see the actual statement from the United States, from our president. He took his pen and he lined through the word Jewish. You'll see it. He lined through it so that he recognized only the state of Israel.
Huh.
It can be Palestinians or Jews.
Uh-huh.
So when they said, we're a Jewish state, not so. The United States never recognized them as a Jewish state. That was President Harry Truman's little trick.
But
you know, okay, I'll recognize you, but not as a Jewish state.
The only good thing he did.
Yeah, and you know, nobody knows this. I got a copy of the document itself, and I was amazed. And I, you know, people still don't seem to get the significance of that. Now, the first president, so-called, of Israel was a Khazar named David Ben-Gurion from Poland. That was not his real name. I don't even know his real name, but I think it's Green. But he was the first president from Poland. He was a Marxist-Leninist, very, very strong communist butcher from Poland. Every president, every prime minister, I should say, he was the first prime minister.
Right.
Every prime minister of Israel has been a Pole, a Polish communist. The only one that wasn't is Benjamin Netanyahu, but his father came from Poland. So he was born in Israel. So he's the only one that was not a Polish guy, but he really isn't. So Poland, they called Israel at that time Little Poland because there were so many Poles running everywhere there, a communist, killing all the Palestinians and setting up the nation of Israel in 48. It wasn't a miracle at all. It was brute force.
Sure.
With a bribery of our president and Joseph Stalin.
It wasn't their only choice for a homeland originally either. They had four or five different locations they were considering. Ben-Gurion's real name was David Green, G-R-U with the umlaut over it, N, G-R-U-N. And it's pretty close to Green, so.
All right, good enough.
There you go. Okay, hang on a second. We'll come right back with Tex. Talking to Tex Morris about a dynamite piece of real investigative journalism, but more than that, it's science, and it is again derived and extracted by and large from the very people that are most heavily involved with it. The book is called DNA Science and a Jewish Bloodline by Tex Morris, and it is it's a stunner. Okay,
it really
Tex.
Is tough.
Yeah,
I pray that people will read it. It's a book that, you know, you don't, it doesn't matter whether you make 1 cent as an author. All the royalties go into my ministry. But I just want to, you know, before I die, I want to say people know the truth. That there is no race called Jews in the world.
Right. Tex, I first came across this, I didn't have the science that you have in your book, but we had the historical fact that the Khazar Empire adopted Judaism in 703 or something like that. This is something I've been aware of for well over 20 years now, 25 years.
Oh.
And I'm amazed to see it in book form finally. Again, this goes far beyond my knowledge, but we knew that these were not Semitic peoples. We knew they were Caucasian. They were European. They migrated to Eastern Europe. We knew that they came to America and invented, among other things, Hollywood. Look at the book, How the Jews Invented Hollywood, by Neil Gabler, another Jewish film critic. There are many of them, and this is something that's so important, this book. And this book, of all your books, is unique and I think is going to be the biggest thorn under their saddle. And this saddle I'm talking about is a saddle of unmitigated, unadulterated, unlimited greed and lust, and a lack of concern for the human lives around them who are not, quote, Jews. Now, these Zionists, and they're not necessarily all Jews, because there are Christian Zionists, as we know, they don't care. The Christian Zionists may be the scariest of all, Tex. They're nutty. They think Israel is, in fact, the home of the chosen people. They wouldn't believe this book if you tied them up and made them listen to every word of it.
Well, I've had a couple of people. I know one, a Christian lady. It seems like the women are the most stuck on this, this theory about the Jews. But she said, "I don't care about DNA. That must be a false, science." I'm thinking about the thousands of criminals that have been convicted on DNA evidence.
DNA is false. Well, ask her where she got her blue eyes.
But, they don't even want to believe a DNA, and they don't want to believe the truth at all. This is nothing that I made up. You can go to Johns Hopkins. Just go to Google and look for this information. There it is. Well, we go on with our myths. The next myth is that in 1948, when the Jews, we've really discussed it already, Jeff, the Jews came from all over the world to found Israel in 48, right in the midst of Palestine, the four Palestinians. But in fact, the Jews did not, there were some Jews, of course, that came from different places, even many of the American Jews. But most of them, about 90%, were from communist Poland. Stalin gave a special dispensation. They said that Stalin would communists would not allow the Jews to leave. Well, boy, he let the Poles leave. Basically, any Polish citizen who claimed to be a Jew, and of course they were all Khazars, were allowed to come, and he gave them great stores of money and arms. This is how they were able to take Palestinians and to kill so many Palestinians and take their land. But I've mentioned that Tel Aviv was called Little Poland. It was called Little Poland.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Mm-hmm.
And they had a place there. This is from the book by Ilian, Israel historian Ilian Pappy, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. You see, he told the truth, too. I'm getting all my information from Khazar Jews. But Mr. Pappy said that they operated, these communist Poles, the Khazars, there in Palestine, they operated out of a place, a building. They called it the Red House. Now, why would they, like the White House? This is the Red House. Because of the red, communist red nation, the Red Star
sure.
and all.
Mm-hmm.
They're all communists, and they call the building they operated out of the Red House. Now, that gives you a clue, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Now, closely related to this is myth number six, I guess it is. The Palestinians, now here's where I got. I have a good friend. He's a Christian evangelical. He passed away last year. He still believed in the Jewish myths, unfortunately. But he wrote one time, somebody asked him, said, why did the Palestinians give up all of their land and their villages, their homes, their businesses, their orchards, everything to the Israelis? Why did they do that? They just fled the towns and cities and went out into the desert and had to live as horribly as refugees in these tent cities. Why would they do that? And Mr. Hunt, Dave Hunt is his name, he wrote back, and his answer was, the Palestinians, now listen to this, Jeff, and it breaks your heart. The Palestinians were so prejudiced against the Jews that they preferred to live in tents in the desert. They gave up all of their land, everything they owned, just so they wouldn't have to live with the Jews.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, mm-hmm. would Americans give up their homes?
The guy was living in Lululand.
He was.
Yeah.
I would appreciate if people would go to Google or to Yahoo and Google up the name of a town that used to exist, named Deir Yassin, D-E-I-R. The second word is Yassin, Y-A-S-S-I-N. That's just one of the hundreds of towns that the Israelis conquered. Now, the Palestinians did not even have an army. They had lived in peace for hundreds of years with Muslims, with Christians, with Jews. No problem at all. No army to fight back. And these communist Khazars killed them, and they went to Deir Yassin, and they took the men of the town, and they killed them all, and they stuffed them down water wells.
Yep.
And they told the people there, the women and the children and such, get out of this town. It's not yours anymore. We're taking everything. Go tell everybody what you've seen here. And when we get to their village, we're going to do it to them too. That's just one instance. Deir Yassin. That's one instance of what happened in Palestine. So this is the butchers. Now, the communists, the Khazars, they did the same thing throughout Europe in post-World War II. I mean, monstrous. And they raped, they killed the Germans, and it was horrible. Well, here they were suddenly, the same communist butchers in Israel. And the Americans, the American Christians, thought this was God's will. And it's really a shame.
We have to remember that the Zionists went into Germany at war's end and not only took Germany as their own, but they spent the next 1945 to 1953, 8 years almost, killing virtually all German patriots who still believed in their country and their heritage, who were activists. They purged them all. They killed them all. There were millions who died after the war that no one talks about.
Right. That is just incredible. The eighth myth, we covered it a little bit before, but I wanted to correct something that I said.
You got about 3 minutes.
All right. Israel is very wealthy. The Jews are wealthy all over the world because they're so smart. They're smarter than any other people on earth. But I got out the book again. I got a phone call from a Mongolian professor, believe it or not, since our program, from University of Berkeley, a guy named Da'alaloop. I think I got that right. He corrected me. I went back to the book. The book is entitled IQ and the Wealth of Nations, dated 2002. They compare the wealth of nations with their IQ of the people. It turns out that Israel has an IQ of 94 on average. I said 93. I was wrong. It's 94.
Uh-huh.
Mongolia, said the good professor, he was right, has a IQ on average of 98.
Uh-huh.
Oh. So the Mongolians are smarter than the Jews.
The average Jew. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The average Jew is 34th in the world. They have an IQ of 94. The United States, with counting everyone, including all the blacks, all the Hispanics, has a average IQ of 98. So we have a higher intelligence than the Israelis, a higher intelligence than, well, we're equal with the Mongolians. 98 is very good, by the way, but South Korea has 106. Japan has 105.
The Asians.
So the Israelis, they don't get their money from being smart. They get their money from stealing, and that's what their Talmud tells them to do. So I thought I'd let people know that made that
Well, the Khazars made a lot of money extorting trade caravans, goods and services that were moving through and setting up in the Khazar Empire. They were at a kind of a choke point, and they extorted. The old line about, it doesn't apply to all Jews. We cannot ever lump all people of any group together. There are always differences. But the old line is, the basic philosophy of the contemporary Zionist is to make money on the work of others.
That is true.
That's what they do.
That's really true. Well, do we have any more time?
We got. I'll give you 2 minutes here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, one is the miracles of their wars. They say every war we've had with the Arabs, we've won. It's been a miracle of God. No. It's called the United States.
Yeah.
And our technology. First of all, they beat the Palestinians because the Palestinians had no army. In 67, they won because they attacked unprovoked. They won that war. And in 73, they actually were defeated, and the Egyptians were about to go all the way in and take a Tel Aviv and everything. And President Nixon, the president that they hate so much today, saved their back ends. He and Kissinger both sent C-5A aircraft, that's these huge cargo aircraft, in 73, and saved the career of Golda Meir. We gave them, I mean, so many arms, it's amazing. We brought entire helicopters, tanks, everything with our cargo aircraft. We saved Israel as a nation in 73. It's not their technology. It's the United States.
That's right.
We're the ones that conquered all of these forces, and we're still fighting and dying for Israel today.
Yeah, our boys and girls, in many cases, are just teenagers. And how many other people have we killed for Zionism, world Zionism? Iraq, 2 to 3 million. Afghanistan, the same. There's 4 to 6 million right there. There's a real Holocaust for you. Right now in Syria, people are dying because of the same international Zionist banking cartels.
That's
all
right.
About
it's
money.
I believe Helen Thomas, bless her heart, she's gone on now, but she said, they said, well, what do you think the Jews should do? She said, go back to Europe. That's where they came from.
That's right.
DNA has confirmed Helen Thomas, no doubt about it.
Yeah, indeed. Tex, thank you for being here and finishing that up. It's fascinating material. The world is really so much different in so many ways, and thanks to you and this book, probably the biggest, call it a hoax, has been unmasked.
That's right. That's what the author Kessler said in his book back in the 70s.
Yeah.
He said that the greatest hoax has been played ever in history on the Israeli, the so-called Jewish people.
Very
and
brave,
he was himself. Jew.
Very brave Jew. Extraordinary man. Okay. Tex, thank you. Talk to you next month. Again, you've done something very unique, and this book is going to be around, no matter how hard they try to suppress it. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. The title again is DNA Science on the Jewish Bloodline by Tex Mars. Go to Tex Mars' website, and you'll get it. Okay. Be right back.